John Hanson in for John Williams this week. 630. Hello, John. This is Chris. I've been retired now. I look at my week as Friday, Saturday, Friday, Saturday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That sounds great. Boy, I can't wait for that. About 30 or 40 more years for me, and I'll be doing that life. 630. Thank you very much for the text, Chris. And by the way, I mentioned the sunset time, 6:57 this evening. Although I really consider dusk to be the end of the day in terms of sunlight, because you still see a little bit of it. That goes till 7:25 tonight. Sunrise this morning, 6:32. Including today, we have 9 more days of more daylight than nighttime.
You're giving me the fall scaries.
Oh, right. Yeah, exactly. I know. You know, I report on this stuff from December 21st up to June 21st, and I'm everybody's best friend. When I talk about how much more daylight we're getting. But I feel like I can't just then not say anything on the way down. That would ruin my journalistic integrity. So I give it to you both ways. Max Armstrong needs no introduction. I'll just say, of course, he's a WGN Radio Walk of Fame, Hall of Famer, and you've known him as a legend in agriculture reporting for so many years. Max, hello, my friend. How are you?
Thanks for lifting my spirits, John, about these days. It's getting shorter. Yeah, you're real real supportive here, pal.
Yeah. I guess, you know, we've been talking about, like, what day of the week really begins or when emotionally you're ready for the week or not. And our farmers, especially these days, boy, they work all 7 days a week. It's the opposite of retirement. They don't care what day of the week it is. It's just they're working.
As weather permits, over the next few days, it'll be very busy. And some farmers are just now getting into the field for the corn and soybean harvest this fall. But as time goes along, as we go on through the remaining days of September and get into early October, the roads will be filled with farm equipment. I should mention that. If you're going to go out to a weekend football game, or you're going to the orchard, or visiting to take in the fall color, remember, you'll be sharing the roads with a lot of big, slow-moving, wide farm equipment as you go around curves and come up over hills.
I'm wondering, as they get ready to harvest the crop from this year, we had some wet times during the summer, but dry times too, and now we are, I don't know if it's rained in September in our area, and I don't know if it will. Is that good or bad or inconsequential around this time?
Yeah, there's a lot of variability in some areas because of that pendulum swinging so much, John. You know, one northern Illinois farmer told me he had 38 inches of rain from the beginning of the year, but then the faucet shut off the last 3 weeks. As we get into harvest, we want drier weather, of course, and the moisture content of that corn kernel needs to come down yet. The moisture content in that kernel, from what farmers have been telling me in recent days, is up in the range of 28-30%. It needs to be down at about 15%. Well, you know, the farmer can dry that down artificially on the farmstead. Many of our growers have dryers, and the grain elevators have dryers, but that expense of energy is something that growers are really going to be concerned about this year. As cheap as this corn crop is, as low as it is in price, and as high as input costs are, farmers are going to be very conscious. If they can let it dry down out of the field, John, as long as the crop is standing well and we're not, you know, the calendar isn't moving by too quickly, they might be inclined to let it dry down a little more out there rather than bringing it up to the farmstead and drying it down artificially.
Okay. So, yeah, that's about to be started. And was it the planting season or the harvest season where you kind of get all those dust-ups that caused that major backup on 55 or that horrible accident, the fatal accident? Is that around this time, too, where you start to see that, or is that in the other side of the season?
Well, that was in the planting season. Okay. That incident south of Springfield was, I believe it was in the month of May a couple of years ago, and the farmers had been working the fields nearby. The conditions were just right. The wind picked up and caused that intense problem of visibility that was a tragic outcome from it.
Yeah. You mentioned to me in the text that pumpkins are coming in, so even if it doesn't feel like fall, it certainly will start to look it, huh?
Yeah. You know, Illinois is the number one pumpkin-producing state in America. Many people don't realize that. Now, we're talking about two different kinds of pumpkins. The ones that you'll buy at the farm stand, the ornamental pumpkins, they are in good supply. There's no worry about that. There are plenty of those. I was checking with my friend Mike Von Bergen, who is in that area north. He's east of the town of Hebron, McHenry County. And he said their pumpkins are good. They'll have plenty for sale there at the farmstead. We also watch the pumpkin pie filling pumpkins. Those come out of the area around Peoria. And they're processed there. I'm told the crop is good there as well this year. All of those that will go into the pie filling and things. All of those pumpkin things that we enjoy so much as we get into the fall.
I love that. Some people come in here and name drop celebrities. Max Armstrong, you name drop the farmers of our area. I appreciate that.
You know what? It's been the fun part of the job. I think Orion would say the same thing, John, that the visits we've made to farmsteads, that's been the joy, you know, to be out there and have the chance to sit at the kitchen table with farm families and to be in the cab riding across the field with them. It has really been so much fun, so satisfying.
Yeah, we can tell you definitely exude that. WGN, it's Max Armstrong here on the phone line. And Max, we were talking before the break about the harvest season. And I know a lot of those crops that are harvested don't end up in our grocery stores. But of course, farmers are the ones that sends our food to our grocery stores. Yeah. Max, as inflation was going up, you were quick to remind our listeners on Your Money Matters that this isn't farmers, you know, doing the extra charges. The cost of the food that they sell doesn't bear too much into ultimately what the food at the grocery store ends up being, if I remember correctly, right?
Yeah, the raw commodity value is a very small amount of your consumer food dollar. Witness the fact that as commodity prices have tumbled this summer, just fallen off the cliff, the corn and soybean prices have dropped so substantially over the past 3 months. We haven't seen much of a drop in the retail food prices. But that said, you know, you have to remember there are many steps along the way where there is something for the so-called middleman. That's the person between the farmer who produces the raw commodity and those of us who consume. And, you know, they have to have a profit. I mean, they have to be able to cover their costs. So there's been a lot of talk about gouging, that food companies are gouging, and we're going to go after those companies that are gouging. Well, it's going to be tough. It's one of those things that it's easy to say, but it's hard to actually implement. And it remains to be seen the degree to which that can be successful. We did have a couple of food executives who acknowledged that, yeah, they raised the prices probably more than they should have during the pandemic, where they probably were taking advantage of consumers. But I think you'd be hard-pressed right now to see that happening on a widespread, significant basis where there are, in fact, large margins being pocketed.
641 area code wanted to know, Max, how do you see ethanol demand impacting corn prices? That's from Tom in Iowa.
Well, it's very insignificant, generally speaking. You have to remember that if something like 40% of the corn crop goes into the production of ethanol. So it's not insignificant in determining the value of corn. Although, you know, the rest of it goes for livestock feed to supply the pork and the beef and the poultry that we have. So ethanol remains important. It's important to consumers from the standpoint that it allows us to stretch the energy supply is really important right now, as a matter of fact. And it also, at the same time, does help improve the environment in some of the big cities, as farmers have hastened to point out. It's going to be real interesting, though, how ethanol is able to weather the storms of policy changes in the years ahead. It likely will not be nearly as significant as it has been in the past.
I wanted to ask, I'm trying to make this as apolitical as possible, because the word tariff right now is a buzzword that a lot of people are citing, the former president talking about tariffs as part of his economic policy. But both administrations or both parties, both Democratic and Republican administrations have used targeted tariffs in the past to try and help out farmers. When farmers hear the word tariff, is that a positive thing, a negative thing, or is it just, I guess, depend on how it's used and where it's used?
It depends on whether or not it's protecting you or it's protecting, you know, another country. Tariffs, generally speaking, farmers, generally speaking, John, to your question, are free traders. They want to see free and unfettered trade. They want to be able to export, certainly, to other countries without having tariffs imposed on them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's not a farmer in the country here that wants to accept imports from another country.
Right.
So, you know, if a tariff helps in their domestic price, yeah, they might be for it. Generally, though, they are free traders. I guess I would also add, you know, since you mentioned politics, farmers are not one-issue voters. And that's the one thing that I've noticed over the 50 years that I've been covering them. We can talk about farm policy. We can talk about farm issues. We can talk about the absence of a farm bill. In reality, when a farmer goes in to pull that lever, so to speak, they'll be looking at a whole host of things, however they cast that vote come November.
Absolutely. The farm bill, speaking of politics, still languishing. And, boy, that's a disappointment. You think that we could get everyone together to get this thing, because we extended it from last year. Was supposed to be, we're supposed to get a new one, right?
Well, we will probably see another extension. I don't think they're going to get the act together. It's just too partisan in Congress right now. It didn't used to be that way. Some of us would hasten to point out that there was reaching across the aisle, and you could get it done. I don't think it's going to happen this time around. I think we will see yet one more extension of the farm bill. The clock is ticking. The days are limited, of course, to get something done here. Between the Senate and the House, there's still a significant divide.
Yeah. Before we let you go, Max, I always like to give you a chance to plug the new book, More Stories from the Heartland. Tell us in 30 seconds what it's all about, what we can do, and where we can get it.
I know it'll surprise you. There are still some of them out there.
All right.
More Stories from the Heartland, MaxArmstrongBook.com. We may be doing a book signing in the Chicago area with another fine author, Lee Cloncher, who writes about farm equipment, and much of which was developed in the northern Illinois area. We'll plan something for before Christmas, I think, somewhere in the Chicago region. Stay tuned for details. MaxArmstrongBook.com.
And make sure you call us when you're doing that, Max. We want to promote that for sure. You're a good friend.
Thanks, John. Appreciate your kindness.
Love hearing your voice. Love giving you giving us all the information. Take care, my friend. We'll talk soon.
All right, Rascal. We'll see you.
That's good. Great, Max Armstrong.